fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We are beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I'm delighted to be able to welcome my wife, Debbie, to the program today. We've been talking over the last number of weeks about the kind of things she's been doing, the themes she's been speaking on at women's conferences and also in the ministry, the Beloved Revolution that she and other young women are leading to reach out to high school age kids and mentoring and discipling them, as well as college and post-college women. And I thought the topics were so relevant, I invite her to come and to share with us a little bit about what the Lord's been putting on her heart. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you here. Why don't you give our listeners, and we talked about this a few times over the last year, kind of what you're doing, but maybe people are tuning in today for the first time and they don't know who you are and know what you're doing. So why don't you just share a little background first, and then we can get into the topics we want to talk about.
Sure, just a little overview of the ministry that I've been doing our whole married life for 30 plus years, really working with young women of all ages, starting in junior high all the way up through young adult women and women in their 30s even who are married and having kids, but really working with them to help them understand their value, their dignity, their gifts and talents, the ways God is calling them to serve and to live really as a disciple. And so we do that in a lot of different ways through the ministry of the Beloved Revolution, which is really empowering high school girls to really encounter the Lord in a very personal way and then to really live in the freedom as daughters of God and to go out into the world and really be God's love in the world. And then taking a step down from that for the younger girls, the junior high age girls, the Pine Hills Girls Camp, which we've been doing now for 32 years, which is really just an intense week of a culture of love, a culture where they experience a sense of acceptance and really growing and knowing who they are as God's daughters and really God's love for them and an opportunity for them to really encounter the Lord in a very personal way and encounter friendships that can really help see them through these difficult years as they continue to grow in the Lord. And then beyond that, it's all the young women who are helping with these ministries that I've been mentoring and discipling, high school, college age, young adult women who really have caught this vision for their life and really want to go out and really love others and be God's love in the world. And so it's really continuing to give them the Lord's heart for them in the midst of a very difficult and challenging culture that's giving them a lot of different messages and teaching them how to really be that voice and that message for one another in the world.
If someone's listening who would like to know more about it, what could they do?
They can go to our website, which is belovedrevolution.com. And on the website, we've got links also to Pine Hills Camp and social media, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, all those different things. You can find more out about what we're doing.
Very good. Now, what are some of the things you'd like to talk about?
Wow, a lot on my mind. I think I'd like to start our time together with kind of a foundational talk, pieces of that that I've given to women over the years, and something that I think I've learned throughout my time as a wife and a mother in different seasons of my life that I've gone to. And that's really kind of learning how to be, learning how to orient our lives toward being rooted in Christ and being and living with Him, as opposed to just doing, doing, doing. I think by nature of our job description, there's a lot of doing that has to happen. I'm not talking about just sitting around and watching television or reading a good book or taking a bubble bath, which are all things I think sometimes moms would like to be doing in their state of being. But I think it's really learning kind of that foundational truth about how to really be a Mary in a Martha world. And the Lord calls us to do both. It's not either or, but how to really live with the Lord, live in His presence in a way that really enables us to do the things He's calling us to do.
How have you helped them? Why don't we dig in a little bit about what are some of the themes you touch on to help people lay hold of it?
I think there's two kind of fundamental keys that I found to learning how to really be, which, by the way, is a lifelong process. And I know I struggle with it. And you live with me every day, so you see the struggle and you see the tension between busyness of life and busyness with really good things, but also the tension of learning how to live in peace even when you're busy in the busyness of life. And then also the reality of we just need sometimes to step away from all that busyness and really just allow ourselves to relax and to receive and to receive from others and to receive from the Lord. So I think maybe just talking a little bit about those two fundamental keys to learning, and then we can kind of move on from some more practical ways to learn how to do that. Mm-hmm. I think the first one is to recognize, first of all, that we do allow ourselves very often to be defined by our doing, which I think is a trap, because then what happens is we don't know who we are apart from what we're doing. Our identity becomes really formed and founded in the things that I'm doing. It becomes formed in what I have and what I possess, what I accomplish, what others think of me, how I look. And as we get older as parents, how my kids are doing and what the culture defines as success, all of those are things that we can look to very easily to tell us who we are, because they're right in front of us and we're very invested in a very real way in those things that we're doing them. The problem is that those things aren't entirely accurate, and they for sure aren't always life-giving as well, because none of those things in and of themselves have the capacity to confer on us the value that we desire and the value that we're made for. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about raising kids, you might, as a parent, pour yourself into loving and raising your children with as much wisdom as you can, make a lot of effort, but guess what? They're also free. They're free human beings. And if they go off the rails for a particular time or something happens that's outside your power, it can have an enormous impact on what we think about ourselves. I'm a bad parent, which then leads to I'm a bad person. I mean, all kinds of things can happen, and it's completely out of your control. And your dignity and your value is not based on how your child's doing at a particular time or if your child achieves a lot or doesn't achieve as much. But we have to battle through all those things because it surfaces in us the instability kind of our own identity in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I know men and women are kind of wired differently in terms of how they receive that value and what they look for in the world. I know with women, and especially younger women, this whole sense of my image and the externals, what drives that, and my sense of how I feel good about myself when I walk out of the house on any given day. What am I wearing? What does my hair look like? What does my makeup look like? All those kind of external things that even as I talk about them sound pretty external and superficial, but the struggle is real because we live in such an image-driven society and we're constantly looking and comparing ourselves to what we see out there that always seems better and nicer and prettier and more put together. And I think if that's what we're putting our identity in, especially as we get older, we're in trouble, deep trouble, because we're never going to measure up to what we see as the perfect or the ideal. So we have to find something more lasting, something that actually has the ability to give us the value and the dignity that we're looking for.
I remember a few years ago, I was in a conversation with a young mother who was also working. She had two kids, and I think she was in her early 30s, and we were talking with a third person, a guy who works with one of the major car companies, is involved in advertising and stuff for. She said to him, you know, I've been telling you for a while, you need to advertise SUVs and vehicles like that to women, because instead of marketing vans to women, because she goes, I'm a mother and I've got kids, so I'm a kind of a soccer mom already. And just when I climb into the van, I think, oh, my life is over. It struck me like, what? It's just a car. Car is just a functional thing, right? But it kind of ties into what you're saying. Somehow she said, if you're driving an SUV, you got that cap on and you got your workout stuff on and you're driving kids to soccer, somehow you feel better about yourself because of the vehicle that you're in or the vehicle that you're driving. And that touches on what we're talking about here, about the deeper reality of what gives us a sense of identity and what gives us security and confidence and the basic goodness of who we are in Christ as children of God.
Absolutely. And so it really is a struggle. And I think getting back to this learning how to be and not always doing, I think we can only really know who we are if we let God tell us, if we begin to see ourselves through His eyes and not through the eyes of the world, not even through the eyes of people around us or peers, but really to be able to learn how to see who we are. Getting down to a more personal level here, I think each of us bring a certain level of brokenness into that equation from our own upbringing and our own family and places where we needed more than we received in terms of knowing who we were. I think for me, when I began the journey of motherhood as a young mother, I had a lot of fears, probably internal fears about, can I really be a good mother? I had struggles with my own mother and my relationship with her and the way that she was able to mother us just based on her own weaknesses and things in her own life. And so it was really hard. I actually remember one little story when our son Michael was about 3 years old. Sweet kid, very physical though, and he used to just in his physicality break a lot of things. And I remember one time when he was three, he broke a picture frame that I had. It wasn't even like it was all that expensive, but I think I was kind of in the throes of motherhood, little sleep, a lot of frustration, and I remember just being angry, and I think I yelled at him or something, and then I felt really bad about it. I felt bad that I had reacted that way. I'd yelled at him, and then my instinct was after that to kind of just withdraw from him a bit emotionally. And I recognized in myself that was something that I had experienced in my own childhood. And I had this overwhelming sense of, this is just the way it's going to be. This is how I received mothering as a child, and I'm probably going to just pass it on to my kids. And in that moment, I remember the Lord breaking through and really speaking to my heart and really saying, you are not your mother. Your identity isn't determined by her brokenness. You don't have to receive and accept that identity just because she was that way. You can be different. And I'm not saying I never struggle with that again, but I'm saying something changed in me, an orientation. I understood that I was not my mother's brokenness, that I really could carve a new path for myself based on who the Lord thought of me and my own identity in him. So that was very foundational for me, learning where to look to receive my identity.
So in the case of the situation with Michael, the example, you were disappointed in what he did, and part of how you handled it was to withdraw from him emotionally a little bit, you know, to show your disapproval. And so he could experience that as kind of conditional love. Like, if you don't make mistakes, I'll be closer to you. If you make these kind of mistakes, I might withdraw from you. And it's an emotional thing, not a decision.
Right.
But it's just something that you noticed in yourself.
Right. And so being able to kind of detach from that and detach from that pronouncement about this is who I am as a mother and say, no, this is not who I am. I can choose by accepting who the Lord says I am to be different. And to have a different identity that's rooted and grounded in the fundamental understanding of myself, that I am loved, that I am valued by the Lord. And that's what gives me my sense of confidence and identity as a mother. And so that really made a huge difference for me. And to realize that only God can really give us our true identity, and we need to be paying attention to that so we can receive that from him.
And that confidence and security internally comes from being with the Lord, which is part of the point of what we want to talk about the rest of today and tomorrow, which is not such an easy thing to do. So we'll ask the question tomorrow, how is it that we can cultivate the being and not just living in the doing all the time and being active? Because when we're aware of the kind of examples you're giving, the only way out of that is to find, as you said, a deeper security in Christ, to be able to find in him the love, that unconditional love that's his. And friends, that's who God is. That's God's disposition toward you. He's not mildly disappointed or disgusted in you. He absolutely loves you and wants to help you find that security and identity. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.